I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
And I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched When Evil Lurks. When Evil Lurks is a 2023 Argentinian supernatural psychological horror film written and directed by Damien Rugner. Set in a remote village, it follows two brothers who find a demon-infected man just about to give birth to evil itself. They decide to get rid of the man but merely succeed in spreading the chaos.
Thomas Reid.
Sean J. Carney.
Love you, mate. I gave you a mandate to pick more fucked movies.
Yes.
And you delivered. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yes, and?
Proud of you.
Yep.
Go and fuck yourself.
You did too good a job, mate.
You son of a bitch.
I'm a professional, boys.
What the hell?
When you ask me to do something...
Who do you think you are?
A professional.
You should have him killed.
But I love him.
Oh, fucking hell.
No, he did well. You did really well.
I hit the brief.
There is that thing of a scaredy boy, isn't there?
Yeah.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
For picking a good movie. Because God knows he's picked some turds. Not us, just him.
No, we're golden.
We've all picked some turds.
Yeah.
Well done, Tom. This was one of the most upsetting movies I've probably ever seen.
Yeah.
It was mean. It was awful. It was scary. The vibes were despicable.
The visuals were
grotesque.
The world was fascinating.
Yes. It was shot beautifully.
All the craft behind it was really fucking good.
Yeah.
But just sat in those end credits and stared into space.
I turned around after we finished watching this. Mm. And Damo and I, we were both like, oh, fuck, that was full on. But we were like, oh, great movie. Well done. You were in another time zone.
And Damo said, he's taking his glasses off because he doesn't want to see the world.
Yeah. You were sitting there, your glasses are off, and you just had your hand over your over the bridge of your brow.
Yeah.
Just burdened with horrific purpose.
Scaredy Boys is a gift and a curse.
It really is.
It truly, the gift of friendship, the curse of spooks that we listen to so that you do not have to listen.
Right. Our eggs are filling up.
Oh,
they're bloated and pus-filled.
My egg has popped like that man.
Oh, my God.
And a grim, grubby, horrific-looking child has climbed out.
Now I'm scared to crack eggs.
Yeah, mate.
It's not actual eggs.
What's going to come out?
Yeah, what comes out? Yeah.
A rotten?
Don't kill it.
A possessed one?
What a fucked little world they created.
Incredible world. Let's just talk about that. The world building in this, I love, and we've talked about this before with like the wailing and a few other things, where so often devil stories, exorcism stories, fall into a Pope's exorcist, the exorcism of Emily Rose, Catholic kind of thing. And Argentina, it is Catholic, it's
for
Christian,
sure.
It's still that. But there's just a level of esoterica to it that I just love, where the rules are a little bit impenetrable.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly a thing that exists and has existed for a time,
right?
To the point where there are people whose job it is to do this who are just called cleaners or cleansers.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
And they have a job and they have a weird toolkit and they have weird rule systems.
I love a toolkit.
Yes.
It's good. And they just chuck you in it.
Yeah.
Like there's no, I think if this was made again by Hollywood or by America, you'd have this, there'd be like text at the start. In 2007, a rotten was found in a apartment in Brooklyn. New York is full of demons.
Yeah.
It's because here in our culture, it takes a lot more to like get behind this sort of thing. That's what I love about this movie. It can rip from the start.
Yeah.
Because everyone, like it's just imbued in their culture. They're kind of like, okay, yep, all right. They all fear this thing.
Mm. Yep.
And so there's no real fucking around. The ex-wife doesn't really get on board things.
Yeah.
And that's when things go real south. But, you know, there's ramifications.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand why she doesn't too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You learn he is a piece of shit.
He should not be there.
He's not a good man.
Not a good man. He's done some despicable things.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole point. The reason the movie goes the way it goes is because he isn't a good man. He is a bit of a coward. He is a bit despicable. And because he makes those choices, you know, as the movie keeps going, when it comes to the crunch and he has to make a choice to be good and save and help, he's a coward.
Yeah.
And so his fear will rule him. He will make a bad decision, like all of the other decisions that happen in this.
Right. Like an emotional decision.
Yep. Yeah. And you pointed this out brilliantly, Damo, early at some point in the film. You were like, all of them make decisions based on fear.
Yeah.
One of the last rules is do not be afraid.
Yes.
Do not let your fears consume you.
Yeah.
The rules are not respected.
The rules are not respected.
Mm.
And the punishment is brutal, horrific.
Yeah.
Grim. Powerful. This movie's good.
You were getting frustrated, Damo. I could hear it.
I was getting
several times in the back half. You're like,
For me, this was such a hard movie to like. I haven't put on Letterboxd, but it's gonna be a real tough one to rate because I think the storytelling, world building, the craft on display on every level is actually really terrific. But my subjective part of me coming through wants to be like, I have not felt so empty and awful and stressed and angry at how mean and how much people aren't communicating. And there are like, especially when there are seven fucking set rules they learn as kids from a nursery rhyme and everyone seems to have forgotten them or isn't communicating them well enough or not communicating the situation well enough. And at every turn, the worst thing happens because of it. And like, or they're giving into their fear in this way. Man, I'm like genuinely like, I was a bit empty at the end of it from the storytelling point of view. And then the only lift I got was like, yeah, that was a really good fucking movie. Like, but I'm still really finding it hard. Yeah. Like, I want to say,
you can't go, it's weird because the technical craft and everything, it's hard to go lower than a 4.
Yeah, I think I've got to go 4.
The movie's earned that, but it's like, if I give it 5, that's hard.
Yeah.
I'm grappling over here.
We were talking about this after the movie, and this is probably more a question for Damo and I, because Tom, you watch a lot of mean, rude movies because your girlfriend seeks the danger out.
She seeks loves the danger. Horror.
For us, Damo, is it the meanest horror we've watched for the show? I think probably.
I don't think so.
Do you have one that we watch?
I think The Strangers is meaner because it's just people.
Okay. I'll tell you why I lean towards this one, though. Because a lot of the cruelty is to children.
Yes.
Children absolutely cop it. And like initially when you don't even really expect that to happen, that is the dog one is the worst one.
There was part of me that thought maybe, and then it was way worse than I was expecting.
The way they framed it from behind, it's such a, it was a horrible, tense shot of this dog, this big dog too. And you just thought, I thought the dog's going to do something.
Yes.
But I thought it was going to bite like the dad or one of the adults. Whatever, yeah. It just rips into the girl.
Well, I thought the girl was going to look at the dog and the dog was going to pass the possession onto the kid.
Right.
Now, I thought the dog would attack somebody. I didn't think it would maul a little girl. And like not even like just
in the way
grabs
it
and drags it out of the frame. It's just time and time again we go back and we see it going in again.
And it's shaking. Fucked.
Just shaking
and
like
then
a
running down
doll.
The street with the corpse.
It's just so, like, again, this is where it's like so mean.
Yeah.
But again, I find it's like, I'm like, too mean. Fuck you. But then part of me is like, no, they're doing it on purpose. This is about evil.
It's evil.
This movie made me realize, like, we've seen other movies where it's like, he is evil personified or it's the essence of evil. And you're like, yeah, shrug, whatever. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, so they're a bit cheeky and nasty and whatever. Where this actually makes you truly fear the concept of evil.
Yep.
That evil is a dog getting its whole jaws around a girl's head who a minute ago was giving it love and pats and all this. Yep. Like, it's just so nasty and brutal and like, and it is the worst things you can imagine.
Evil is a possessed mother eating its child walking down the street. Like,
Yeah,
it's bad, man.
We've got to get to that. Like, but also the dog thing is horrible because the parents are arguing, raised voices, and they don't even know what's fucking happening.
It takes so long.
And this boy is like, the dog is biting and like they don't even get it.
Yeah.
Like it's
and
fucked.
We know.
Yeah. We know by then. Too late.
Yeah.
Like, you're arguing and she's dead already.
Too late seems to be the constant feeling of this whole film.
Yeah.
For the audience. And
too late to save Santino.
Stressful. It is this is a hard watch, I would say, for me. For cowards out there and people with any element of empathy, so not Joel Douches, are going to have a hard time with this movie.
Yeah. We watch the scary movie, so you don't have to. This is a prime example.
This is the one.
I would say,
having said that,
it is a great film. So if you want to watch a great film, watch it. But
you will need a chaser lined up. Yep, yeah, full disclosure.
You're in for a rough time.
Whether that be any kind of chaser, whether you're watching another movie, you play a bit of Pokemon or some Mario or some Fortnite.
Yeah.
Fortnite as a chaser would maybe help.
Yeah.
Hanging out with your friends, shooting some 16-year-olds.
Except my skin in Fortnite, my character skin at the moment is Michael Myers from Halloween.
That. You can play that to a big fat fish.
Yeah, you need something much more pleasant.
A brightly coloured man.
Is there a Paddington option in Fortnite?
That would be the best thing in the world.
I'm just saying. That might
be so funny.
That might get me onto Fortnite.
I would actually love that. He'd be hard to shoot too because he's small.
They'd make him size.
They'd make him bigger.
Yeah, yeah, they're always the same size.
Because do you remember, this is going on right now, Odd Job in GoldenEye.
Right.
Did you ever play as Odd Job?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because he was great. Because my go-to was Baron Samedi.
Right.
And so my brother would always go Odd Job, and I'd shoot, and I'd have to like manually aim down to shoot him in the head. It was
And he could hit you in the head by just shooting your hat.
Yep, he'd just shoot me in the dick, basically.
just to step back a bit, the world building and sort of the lore of this is really well done in that it never feels, when you're getting exposition, it never feels too heavy-handed of exposition.
No.
And because we're just thrown...
Because we don't know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're hungry for it. So when they do feed you the exposition, you're like, oh, fucking yes.
Yeah,
right, cool.
Yeah.
What are the rules? What's this? What's that?
Yeah, give it to me. Yeah.
And even the ones, they don't give you everything. They just sort of talk. And that, I think, is some of the best world building you can do in a movie or a book, where they just say, well, this is already established. I don't need to explain to you how this works. You'll just work it out by seeing it or learning along with the characters. Or it's just being utilized, and eventually your brain goes, oh, yeah, cool, that's the thing. Like,
I've got it, yeah.
You don't know what any of the weird tech that she has or the cleaner that they find has. You don't really know what any of that does, just that it works in a certain way. And that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough to, A, denote that she's an expert, she knows what she's dealing with. It gives you that. It elevates the whole movie from just a normal possession story. They put so many great little hurdles in it in that, yes, it's really powerful, but you cannot kill it. If you hurt it, if you kill it directly...
If you give in to your fear...
You fuck it.
Yeah.
You release it into the next thing.
Yeah, and I really... like, again, this is something I really loved about... I love rules, I love all the rest of it, but I love any kind of magical system, and ultimately, this still counts as a magical system, where it's like... It's like we've seen possession stories before and it's like, oh, they've got possessed somehow, whatever. Where I love the idea of like this evil is wanting and ready to be birthed into the world. And so the possession is really just an avenue for its birth. It's its gestation period.
Yep.
Like that is so interesting and unique. And then
it can't be born until it's killed.
And it needs human weakness, humans giving into their fear, human cowardice to birth it into this world. And like the way it's sort of like, it's still present. It's like evil is lurking and it's still hovering around, but it can't get that full. It's still in its gestation period. Again, that's just like a good, interesting magic system that's different from what we've seen before.
I think it's the best possession sort of mechanism that we've seen in any of the possession movies that we've watched.
I'm there for that.
And it's that perfect example of like, oh, they've done, everything's been done. But no, do possession, but do it in a slightly different way.
Yeah, twist it.
Well, and it's awesome. It's actually fascinating.
It's no eyes and demon voice.
Yep.
It's just, it's a bloated mess of a man who is begging for his life and then saying fucked things. Even like the mum doesn't sound like, I'm going to eat your... She's just like the mum, but she's wrong.
Yes.
And like even when they do that, one of the most chilling sequences in it doesn't even involve any violence. It's when the grandma's at home with the son, the autistic son, and the Mitra is like, it'll take a bit of time because the demon gets in there and it can't work out their brain because their brains are wired wrong. So it'll take a bit more time. Just keep an eye on him. We're going to go kill the rotten. You're going to go and find the other son.
Yeah.
That's all this plan. And then the grandma is sitting there and then the boy walks in.
Yeah.
And she sort of looks at him and he then goes, I'm cold. I think maybe we should have a cup of tea.
Right.
And it is chilling because he can't talk. He's nonverbal.
Yeah.
And he's walking around and then he just looks at her and it's that moment of the game's up. The game, like she just looks like, oh.
Yep. Well, it's found its way through the maze and you're like, shit, nothing. Like the way it plays with hope and hopelessness is like it is on this amazing balancing act where, again, like it's a mean, rude movie in a lot of ways. And if it was completely hopeless from the get-go, I would lower my rating on it. But it actually manages to find new ways, while the worst things are happening, to give you hope and keep hope a little bit alive in us, the viewers' hearts, up until the point where there is no hope, which really there almost never was to begin
with. Yeah, it's funny how often these movies just trick us. And they don't even try that hard to do it. It's there from the outset. But there's this part, I think, and just probably the way that we watch these movies.
Yeah.
We want there to be hope.
Of course.
There's a part of me that's like, no matter what bad thing happens, surely it's going to be a nice ending, right?
Yeah.
Our brains are wired to movies having happy endings.
Right.
And we're in the wrong genre.
That's so good, man.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it reminds me, massively of a book that I read this year that I've talked about a lot this year on this podcast, Our Shape of Night.
Yeah.
Yes. Fucking great book. Mm. Because again, it takes the occult and possession and stories like that and puts it in South American context. And right. It's set in Argentina.
Right.
And it uses a combination of your Christian, Anglican, sort of English, sort of cult worshipy, demon summony, Aleister Crowley kind of shit.
Right, right.
And fuses it with Argentinian folklore and superstition.
Mm.
It is also very fucking mean.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff in it is like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It does also not treat children very well. But it is the world building is incredible.
Yeah.
And you keep reading because every time they give you hopelessness, just at the last second, Mariano Enrique just goes, here you go. And this does the same thing. They get to Mitra's house. All hope is lost. And she goes, I know how to deal with it.
Turns out.
She takes her suitcase out. I dealt with the very first run.
Yes.
I was there the first time.
So we've got hope. Maybe we're going to beat this thing.
We get to the school and it's like, okay, they're doing it. They're doing it. And she's like, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. And you're like, okay, yep. All right. We're going to get there. She's like, all right, pull out. We've got no time. And it's starting to get stressed. And you're like, maybe they're going to kill it.
Yeah.
And then he goes to get the axe. And she's like, don't leave. Yeah. I can't take care of it by my silence.
And it's so quick. It's like, as soon as he makes that decision
and leaves,
we're done.
Yeah.
Yep, we're done.
That's all it took.
Can I ask us a question?
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Were we scared?
Shit
scared.
Yes!
Oh my God.
I think, was it before, as the movie was starting, Tom, you said, boys, we don't have to do this.
Yeah, you did.
That's a lot earlier than we normally would say.
Yeah.
I think it's the poster. I was scared because the poster is of a woman kneeling on the ground holding an axe towards her face.
Yeah, so you had that scene.
So you're like, oh.
You know the scene where the landowner shoots the goat and then his wife axes him and then she kneels down and I was like, oh, no, the poster. Oh.
Bang.
No. It was just fucked.
So it takes so long.
If we're talking about were we scared? So like there's a sense of unease. We've had the disgusting
bloated Uriel.
Uriel, who, what's the term for rotten?
A rotten, yeah.
We've seen him and so we're like, whoa, this is like heavy. Not having any idea how heavy this is really gonna get. And so for anyone who isn't gonna watch it, I'm gonna describe this scene real quick. So basically we've got this farmer Ruiz who is like we're talking about for people who are scared and giving in to their fear in the worst way, where they know the rules, they know they shouldn't kill this thing. And he's already had one chance where we thought he was going to shoot Uriel and cause this thing, and he manages to hold back. And of course, like, as we've talked about, anger as an outlet for fear is such a common, especially for masculine people, it's such a common outlet.
We were getting angry watching this movie.
Yeah. And we're not really angry. We're fucking terrified.
Yeah.
And so when his wife screams out and there's one of the goats is slightly wrong in a way that I couldn't really decipher, to be perfectly honest, but whatever, they knew it was off. And then he shoots the gun in the air. All the other goats run away and it's just standing there.
Yeah. And then it walks forward, puts its head up to the gun.
He's like screaming at him, I want you to do this, which of course means that is the last thing you should be doing. But he's so terrified. He's so like full of anger and righteousness, but actually it's just fear. And of course, what does he do? He shoots it. As like seconds after he does, the wife swings an axe straight into his face and you see everything and it's awful. And then kneels down, swings the axe in a pendulum type way so she can get herself in the face. And then does that like 3 or 4 times. And then she's like slowly dying, but it's still going in the slow.
It sort of gets floppy.
It's so upsetting.
It's so realistically awful.
I'm getting stressed again. I shouldn't have described it. This movie, I nearly rubbed my face off because the amount of times I had to just like try to calm myself by like, oh my God, what is happening? What are we watching? And stroking my face.
Yeah, it's bad. And the thing is, we're like, were we scared? Yes. Boys, how many jump scares are in this movie? Maybe two.
Maybe two.
Like if that, Even the attack.
We shouldn't have done this podcast. I felt so. We had it. We watched the chaser after this.
I actually
last
don't
night.
Feel well now talking about it.
We watched the chaser and we're like,
what's
we did
next,
it.
What's the next question?
It's gonna be the shortest episode of Scaredy Boys ever.
No, we'll stay on the Fear Factory bit because obviously it's got plenty of it.
But that's what I mean when I say how many jump scares. There's not a lot of jump scares. The fear comes from what will it do next?
Yeah.
You know these people keep making mistakes. So what will be the next cost of a mistake?
Yeah, and I'll say this. It even does that great balancing act of like, well, you kind of remember, you know the whole time you're watching a horror and we have that horrible act scene not too long after. We have the horrible dog scene that we mentioned. And then there's this breath. But of course, any good horror movie has like, the rhythm, the scares and the calm, the scares and the calm. But the calm was going just that inch too long. And I started to get scared of the calm because you know it's going to break at some point.
And it breaks horrifically, which is the attack on the house. And you get a scene that, again, I think in a lesser director's hands would just lean into a cheap jump scare, which is where the brother Jamie is driving off to find the son and the mother who's walked off into the night. And she's like, don't use electric light. You're going to have to use it sparingly. So you get that great set piece where he is turning the headlights on. And off.
Right.
And on.
And you're waiting for a jump scare from that.
And in a lesser director, he'd turn it off, nothing there, turn it on, bang, bang.
Yeah.
This movie, on, off, they just don't give you that scare. And then he turns it on and she's just there.
In the distance,
yeah. And you're like, what's happening? Like, it's a weird, you can't work out. And then rather than give you the cheap, easier scare, I would think, they give you something way worse.
Something much more upsetting.
That lingers and takes a long time. And it just, again, it shows you the evil of it. The evil of this thing. It's not the demon at the end of Pope's Exorcist. It's something immeasurable, unknowable.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing too that makes it truly scary is it just operates on a level where, there are rules, but you also don't really understand what it's fucking doing. Like,
No.
Even later in the film, spoilers, when the demon is finally born and it's just a weird, bald, naked child that looks a bit inhuman.
Yeah.
And it just runs its fingers across his doesn't
his
kill
head.
Him.
Yeah,
just runs
yeah.
its fingers across his head, and then of course he tries to rub it off, and he can't get rid of the mark of the beast.
Yeah,
he's got a bloodied handprint on his forehead for the rest of his life.
And which is not going to be long.
But just like it, then it just walks out into the field.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah,
it just that's the end of you don't see it. It doesn't come out and speak in an evil, horrific voice. It doesn't grow wings or horns. It's just a bloodied child.
It's out in the world
and
now.
Off it walks.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so effective about this compared to other possession stories, where the evil is never waxing lyrical about all the terrible things it's going to do.
It just does them.
It just does them, and we see it in gorgeous cinematography. It is horrific, and like there's what he sees for when Jamie finds the mum and she's got the son. I almost don't want to say it. Like it's in my head right now.
You don't have to.
I won't for the listener.
It's like, bad.
I'm hating sitting here and listening to this film.
Yeah.
I'm hating it.
Generally, it's one of the most upsetting movies I think I've seen in a long time.
End the podcast.
End my life.
Not the episode, the whole podcast.
The whole show. Yeah, this one is probably, I will say it's probably the most intense one we've done.
Yeah.
But the only reason I think The Strangers is meaner is because it's just people, whereas this is like an unknowable magical force.
I think I'm with you there. I think ultimately there's still an element of fantasy about it, in which case I can kind of go, oh, it's okay. For something like The Strangers, where it's just people being terrible and people can be terrible, that's really, and like meaningless, the meaningless of The Strangers, which this also feels like. It feels meaningless because this evil doesn't care if you're good or bad or any of that stuff. It just wants to do what it's going to do.
But again, because it's competent, there's always the opportunity for them to do the right thing. Whereas there are movies that are mean where it's like, they can't actually do anything. No. We're just now going to watch them suffer for ages.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think with something like this, there are moments of the hope, and that's what keeps the movie going.
Yeah.
If that wasn't there, this movie would be terrible, I think.
Yeah.
I think this would be
exactly
a genuinely bad movie,
right.
Whereas because it's elevated, and yes, the movie is bleak, and yes, the movie is hopeless, and the final shot of the movie is burnt into my head of the father coming out of the house, dropping to his knees, his brother coming behind him, and he just screams.
The end is literally, we have lost all hope.
Yeah,
there is zero hope left.
Need to technically have that end scene.
No,
makes but it the doesn't movie feel better though.
It doesn't feel overdone.
No,
normally I'd watch
really,
a movie
just good acting,
with that extra 5 minutes,
really
and I'd be like, you could have stopped when the kid walked into the field. But no, that extra 5 minutes, because even you get that other heartbreaking scene, the overhead shot where the two brothers come back to the house and the grandmother is missing.
Yeah.
And they just hug.
Yeah.
And it's just such a heartbreaking hug.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't fall into complete despair because of the thing we've talked about in the past, where it does place value on life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
they
it,
are
I think,
fighting
Sean.
For this thing.
Yeah.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. This movie does actually value life.
Yeah.
Doesn't just give all the way into cruelty.
No.
So it does enough to keep these three boys on the line. Yeah. It does. It's hurting us terribly.
Yeah, but like it keeps us, in keeping us on the line, it is managing to then hurt us more.
Yeah. The reason, it cares for human life so it can show the true cost of the evil and the cruelty.
Yeah.
If it was just shitty and mean, I wouldn't be interested, but it values life more than it values the death, it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Boys, did our characters act wisely or foolish?
Dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Like, literally, what we talked about, obviously the rules, and that you are not, like, it's such a tough rule to say you are not allowed to be afraid of the thing you're afraid of.
Or
like,
kill it when it's goading you into doing it.
Or like, again, so for the, when Jamie sees it and he has to, like, drive his car into the possessed mum, because of course you do.
Yep. Look, I can understand those decisions.
Yeah, but again, they're the wrong decisions.
There are things like the grandma. Been like, don't name it. And then she starts naming it. And then the kid, the autistic kid starts to repeat that name again and again. It's like,
that's very frustrating.
You're an idiot. You're old. You should be wise. You're an... Oh.
Yeah.
Leave her back at home.
The only wise one in this movie was Mitra.
Yeah.
Who like was so controlled and so contained. But again, like when you learn her backstory, she's like, she's gotten to a point where she's like reached nirvana. She's found inner peace because she can actually not be afraid in this crazy.
She knows what it is, and she's it's basically like she's seen the worst of it and she survived. So what else could possibly fear make her afraid?
Mm.
And that's like that great running thing where everyone's like, yeah, but if you've seen one, you know.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't, if you saw one, you wouldn't say, I think, is what she says to Jamie.
Yeah.
You would be like, nah, that's, I've seen it.
Yeah.
But again, the moments of like hope and light, the little quirky bit where he's like, oh, is this Mitra, hey? And it's like, oh, they fucked.
They definitely did.
It's like one little bit, and then it's like, all right, back to the relentless dread.
Yeah. Well, even just to jump back to the first act, like the thing that really, I mean, it's already there, but the thing that really kicks this whole story off is like the ultimate act of foolishness and fear and cowardice of like, oh, let's just drive it away somewhere, make it somebody else's problem.
But even the mayor and the police not sending someone out for pathetic. Over a year.
Yeah.
Because they're like, too hard. Bureaucratic nightmare.
So frustrating.
Also, this is in an outskirt town.
Yeah.
But it's so far out of town, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
They just don't give a shit.
Nah.
Fuck. What, like, outside of moving, what were they supposed to do? Just leave it there?
Get another cleaner, I guess. Yeah. I think that's the only thing you could
Well, that's really what they try to do. They go to the mayors and the police to be like, send another person out, but it's too late. So like they realize the police aren't going to help.
Mm.
The mayor's not going to help. The police don't want to help because old mate is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, the only person who can intervene is Ruiz. So we'll go and talk to him and be like, what can we do? And then he's like, I'll fucking kill it.
Yeah. Ruiz is like the wrong choice.
Yeah.
He's like, to me, he's the most cowardly person or maybe the whole movie. Like really didn't like his character.
Bloody landlord.
Yes.
Kill them all. Yeah. If you're a landlord, you should die.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Boys, what would we do in this situation?
Die.
I think die.
And that's all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I don't know what else we could do.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
I've been Dave.
No, I think...
Kill it. We're done. There's no point chatting this way. Honestly.
We can follow the rules.
We are three cowards.
Dead.
Yeah, Jesus, we're dead.
If you see our listeners like this show would like to help us out, we need all the help we can get. You can get over to patreon.com/scaredyboys. There is a bunch of great bonus stuff over there. So please do check it out. And of course, we do appreciate all the beautiful support we get from our patrons. Otherwise, you can leave us a review of your listeners. That really helps us a bunch. And if you'd like to send us an email, just say hi or recommend some movies or anything good like that, you can do so at 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Instagram at @scaredyboyspodcast or on Twitter at @scaredyboys. Or individually, I'm in Midday Pajamas.
Dead.
I'm also dead.
Stay scared, everyone.
Scaredy Boys is a gift and a curse.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.